Let's get right into it. We have a great interview for you today. I was able to chat with Australian brother duo Lime Cordial all about their music, about citrus fruits, naturally, and of course about the show that they played in Vancouver last week. It was at the Vogue on Granville Street, and it was, hey, you know me, I don't mince my words, it was one of the best, if not the best concert and show that I have been to probably since before COVID. Like, I really can't think of any show. It was such a spectacle. It was such a performance. They did amazing. They sounded great. The energy was so high. The audience participation was like just beyond what you expect at a concert. And they just really brought everyone together. I had a wonderful time and can't thank them enough for the wonderful show that they put on. With that being said, I also had a lovely chat with Ollie, one of the two brothers, right before the show. So let's get into that. But right before we do, here is a song that you might recognize from them. Here is Temper Temper.
Hello.
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 Very nice to meet you. Thanks for being here. And
yeah,
thanks for having me. Okay, I wanted to start off with some like warm-up questions. The first one is based off of the name lime.
Yeah.
If you had to eat only one type of citrus fruit for the rest of your life,
yeah,
which one would you choose?
I'm a big mandarin fan. Okay. They're just so easy, so convenient.
They are.
But you know, I like to, you know, I'm a citrus fan.
Okay.
We have at our farm in Australia, we have this orange tree, because like every orange tree is a bit different. We have this one that's like psycho good.
Okay.
There's no pips, and it's just like so sweet, and it's like. And then we got this other one that's just like, oh, so once we've eaten all the oranges from that tree, you go to that one. You're like, oh, it's not
so sad for the other tree.
It's insane. Yeah, I know, right? I feel real bad.
It's like,
but
please pick me. Oh,
yeah,
that's okay. Yeah. My turn will come.
Sorry, mate. Just not cutting it.
You guys have a song on your latest album called Country Club.
Yeah.
If you were running a country club, what special feature would you have? I personally would have a pina colada fountain.
Really?
Like a chocolate fountain, but
okay, interesting.
I think it would be really...
Country clubs are for the elite, right? So you've got to cater to the elite.
I'm catering to me.
You need like, you know, just... children wrestling or something, and everyone's just observing, you know.
Okay.
Something that they would like.
Okay.
This is well, I guess it's my country club though,
yeah,
so that makes me sound really bad.
A little bit.
Okay. I would probably man, I think you really got me with that. What did you say? Chocolate fountain?
I said pina colada fountain.
Pina colada fountain. Damn. Oh yeah, that's good, because then you can just keep topping it up, right? Okay. Can I steal yours?
I think life would be better.
I said children wrestling. I'm going to get cancelled.
That's okay. It's just a joke, guys. It's just a joke.
Bagging out the elite, not me.
Okay. I will just give a heads up. This next question was submitted by some of the people I work with.
Okay. Risky.
Yeah. Recently, I have picked up doing an Australian accent at work.
Yeah.
The problem is apparently my Australian accent is a little too Kiwi to be
it is actually. It's good. You sound like a Kiwi for sure.
That's good, but it's not what I'm aiming for. So I was wondering if you maybe had like any specific tips or tricks to go from less Kiwi to more. I think it's the South African like
influence.
See
how you said less?
Yeah.
You said less.
Uh-huh.
So it's somewhere in there where you're saying like, less.
Okay.
Or sucks instead of six.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So six.
Six.
Six. I don't know. Six. Six. What's
six.
What's a good word that we could? So less.
Less.
So you're going last with an A.
Oh, and that's bad. That's Kiwi.
A bit more Kiwi.
Okay.
But it's good. Maybe just say you're
maybe
doing.
Maybe I should just say I'm
just
from New Zealand.
Yeah, you're trying to do the Kiwi. You go. I'll do Kiwi. You do Australian. All right, we're on.
There you go.
And
okay.
Then you just try and do your Australian accent.
That's a good plan, actually. Okay,
yeah,
I think I'll stick. I think I'll stick to that.
You're nailing it.
Thank you so much. It means a lot coming from, you know, my colleagues are all like, please, Valley, just shut up. They hate me. It's okay.
Good.
For those of you just tuning in, I am chatting to Ollie from Lime Cordial, all the way from Australia, performing at the Vogue Theatre last week here in Vancouver. You were just able to hear my amazing Kiwi accent here live on CITR 101.9 FM. And we're going to keep that energy going. I'm actually going to play you my favourite Lime Cordial song. This is a song I've listened to for a really long time. It's called Giving Yourself Over.
You were always so out, running with me all night. You never ever grew tired up to see the sun. Yeah. Up for feeling down. Yeah. You were always louder, back into the laughter. You get a headache after, had the easy life. I did all the time. You're giving yourself over. Don't you know I told you?
I wanted to move a little bit more into the album side of things.
Yeah.
So you released Enough of the Sweet Talk in 2024, mm-hmm. And you wrote the album over a year or 2 years, and then kind of combined everything together and fitting it into the story arc of like a relationship and love and all of that. And I just wanted to know if you could say maybe some of the obstacles that you came across by bringing in stories from two different people spread over 2 years into this album.
Well, one of the obstacles is probably that we just take a long time. Like we tend to write a song and then we like sit with it for a while and then we come back and we go, actually I didn't really like that. And I think that is a bit of an obstacle. Just I kind of on the next one I mm-hmm. sort of want to just like go limit ourselves, like these are our instruments, this is the time we've got, and just sort of go, okay, you got a month to make like the whole thing.
Okay.
But not necessarily on the songwriting side of things, because we're writing at the moment.
Okay.
So I guess that's what you're asking. The songwriting side of things, I guess still we just like, we start writing. We had this same objective last mm-hmm. time where we wanted to do it all like pretty quickly. And then we're like, oh, I think we just need to keep writing songs, keep writing better ones. Because we tend to write a lot of songs and then ditch the crap mm-hmm. and then just sort of try and get all the best songs, which mm-hmm. is good. It just means that like it's not necessarily like a moment in time. Mm-hmm. And with Louis and I writing separately, and like I'm married and he's like in a kind of a new relationship, mm-hmm. we're like different points of like mm-hmm. our love lives and things. So that's the intention for this being like one sort of consecutive what's the bloody word when you say from like start to finish? It's like time-wise.
Timeline.
Yeah,
storyline, timeline.
But it's, we just wanted to make it feel like one relationship because it's kind of confusing, like two brothers writing about two different mm-hmm. things. Sometimes we write together and we're writing about something together. So it's, I think it worked. But I wouldn't mind, like, going in and just sort of, like, this is the this point of time. Mm-hmm. But then everyone always says, you know, you have your whole life to write your first album. And then everyone's like, albums after that suck because they're, you know, that's like they're the critics on bloody Facebook, the old dogs. And you sort of like read that stuff and you go, okay, maybe it is good just to like give yourself more time to write the songs and make it better. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see.
I'm just like rambling a whole bunch of different theories. Good. And like we don't really have one. We just sort of like go for it. But we are quite picky and we do rewrite stuff quite a lot. And then just sort of like choose the best.
That's a great transition, actually, into one of my questions, which was you had mentioned in a previous interview that you were quite fussy with the creation of your albums and like picking which songs and redoing things and just kind of like going back and altering. I wanted to know if you could go back in time and maybe change something or take something off of the Enough of the Sweet Talk album. Is there something?
Shit.
What would it be?
I don't think so. Hey, like I'd maybe try and like simplify a few things, you know, like Enough of the Sweet Talk. The song has like so many different guitar parts. And, sometimes I'm like, did we just like overproduce this thing? Like we just filled it with guitars, but this is a more guitar-y album. I don't know. Yeah, not really. I don't really have any regrets. I used to have regrets on like the earliest stuff, like all of our earlier music. I'd be like, fuck, that's so embarrassing. It's like, what the hell are we doing? And now it's just like, no, I just got to own it. You know, like that's how we got to where we are now. So,
that's
so
good.
Whatevs. I'm glad we didn't like have a song, you know, in 2011 or something that blew up. And then, because then you have like this problem where you have to follow it up with another good song. And I don't think we had the skills to do it back then. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that blow up with their first song and they're quite young, it's like, it's pretty hard to follow that up with something decent. They don't really know even what their tastes are or what they should be doing.
I agree with that.
Or they're not confident enough in themselves.
Yeah. And then you have to play that one song for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right.
Like if you put it out when you're like 20, you're gonna be playing that song.
I mean, I'd love to have a song more popular than Robbery and Temper Temper, but like we'll get there.
You'll get there. I believe. This next album. There you go. Or this next project.
For sure.
Friends.
I wanted to also ask, you know, you're, I think, more than halfway through the tour now. And I wanted to see what kind of reception the album's been having. Like, are there any songs that people are really, really vibing with? Bless you.
Oh, God. That was like, that whole last question, I was like, I feel it.
Feel it coming.
Keep going. You might have to repeat. I was concentrating on the sneeze
that's
the
okay,
whole time.
That's okay. That's, it shows dedication. Yeah. You know? Are there any songs that maybe you didn't expect people to love as much as they do, or maybe songs that you were expecting people to love more than they are?
Probably like Colin. Like, I wrote that as like a little like B-side track. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really want that to be a single. And then Louis was like, nah, we're going to push it out. And that one, like, I don't know, it's a slow moment. Didn't really ever picture playing it live or anything. Mm-hmm. So and that one, I feel like there's a lot of love for that in a set, which is surprising. We even play that at, like, festivals where I feel like festivals are like, you got to play your bangers, play it fast. Like, you're going to lose people's attention. They're going to walk away and go watch, like, whoever. So, yeah, that's kind of a good one.
Kept their attention.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, to be honest, like, all the songs that are our most popular songs are just, like, ones that we didn't really want to release. We thought Temper was like too in your face and like, oh, it's not like, it's too poppy or something. And same with Robbery, we didn't want to release those. And then they're our two most popular songs, which we love now.
Yeah.
But like just before releasing them, we were like, oh, you shouldn't don't do really this. Want to do it. Management's forcing us to do this. Yeah.
If you could look back, are there any songs that you didn't release that you regret not releasing?
Yeah, 100%. Mm. There's songs in our catalogue that I keep trying to come back to. I mean, Love Is Off The Table, that could have been on 14 Steps To A Better You, our second album, but it ended up making it on the third. Yeah. I think it could have even made it on the first album. Like, it's an old song that Louis wrote ages ago, and I don't know why it just kept hitting the cutting room floor.
Mm. That's cool, though, that you have such a big catalogue, as you called it, that you can just kind of pick and choose from. I love that.
Yeah, just, like, got to bring it back.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned once that a favorite old show memory was a guy getting on someone's shoulders and pouring like cordial all over him.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you have any standout memories from this tour in particular. Anything
well, the other night, like the reason why Louis's not here is that he's completely lost his voice, right? So he's like, he kind of got sick. Maybe we caught that from the support band who were like sick on the last couple of days of their leg with us. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I can't really sing. Like, okay, we might have to cut this song, might have to cut that song and play this one instead. And then we're in Calgary in Canada and it was like our biggest show so far on the tour. And I don't know, just had to announce it on the mic. Just had to be like, all right, we're like, Louis lost his voice. Aww. Don't know what we're going to do. Like, you're just going to have to sing.
Yeah.
So I sung like with the audience, like for aww, all of his songs. It was pretty magical really in the
that's
end.
Sweet.
It's really beautiful. But
and people kept up, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were good.
I mean, they're just loud and like raucous, and we thought we were gonna have a whole bunch of like negative shit in like, you know, DMs being like, what the fuck guys? Like, it came
tell
to hear Louis
to
sing, you know? But everyone was like super into it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice. I love moments like that. I remember I was at a concert once where the singer's like mic cut. And he was like on stage, like panicking a little bit, and then everyone just started singing along, and he was so happy. It was very sweet.
Sometimes those moments are like more memorable for an audience, you know. Like, I feel like if something's gone wrong at a show, or like an artist has like forgotten a lyric, like I kind of love it.
Yeah,
but it's always embarrassing for the artist.
Well, my friend was telling me he was in Seattle a few months ago for I always mess up the order, but King Lizard and the Gizzard.
King Gizzard and the Lizard King Wizard? Yeah.
I always say it wrong. I always mix them
probably
up.
The best band name in the world.
And apparently the barricade broke at their show.
Yeah.
And so for like 15 minutes, they were just like having to like freestyle and entertain the crowd. And like one of the guys in the band like FaceTimed his mom, and then like they got the like people in the audience to sing along to a song a cappella.
That's great, because they weren't allowed to play.
Because they weren't allowed
to
play.
Yeah, see, that was like, all through COVID was like, we played these sit-down shows and the promoter or festival director would be like, all right, so if anyone stands up, we'll probably be talking to you in your ears and you have to just stop the show.
Really?
Or like if we put our hand up on the side, you need to just walk off stage. So we did this one show in Canberra and it was just like, everyone was just, they just standing up like the whole time.
Yeah.
So every, we play like a song and then we have to walk off. And then some guy come and be like, hey guys, sorry, but you need to like sit down and chill out. And like, no one wanted to, you know. So like, we probably played, meant to play like a 45 minute set and we played like five songs, you know.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying. But it's just like, there's all these, you know, COVID rules.
Yeah.
We played a rotating stage because they'd separated crowds into like four quarters. And so we just played this one stage. This is a different festival, but it was just like rotate clockwise. And it's so weird.
That's
so
a bit
weird.
Like Hunger Games-ish.
Yeah, and there's like crew on like... at one point you're just facing the crew and they're all just standing there like... and you're like, yo.
Hope you guys are enjoying
weird.
It.
That's super so weird. Funny. Super weird.
I think that's a start. That would be a standout tour memory show memory. That's funny. For those of you just tuning in, I am chatting to Oliver, one half of the brother duo that has made Lime Cordial. And during our last little portion of the interview, he was mentioning a song that he had written called Colin that has been doing quite well on their tour. And I thought I would play it for you all now. But as a heads up, there is the big E next to it. You know what that means? It can have some, you know, topics for certain discretion. So if you've got a child nearby and you don't want them to hear some words that they might not yet know, maybe cover their ears. But if not, here is the song, Colin.
Take a step back, I'm not good on my own. Although
I also wanted to ask a little bit about collaborations. You guys have mentioned, you know, not being shy about asking people to collaborate. You've had some, you know, weirder collaborations. You've had some more like normal collaborations.
Yeah.
Are there going to be any fun collaborations on future projects?
We're working on one right now with an Australian artist. Oh. He'd probably know because like he's pretty, pretty famous.
Oh my goodness.
In my eyes anyway. Oh. But he's, it'll be sick. We're working on it right now, like on tour.
Okay.
So even yesterday in the hotel, I was kind of like recording a bit of clarinet annoying. It was like 11 o'clock at night. So
that's
I don't know if I should really be playing. How annoying would that be being in a hotel and like someone's playing clarinet next door? You'd be like, fucking
what
kill me.
I feel like you could hear worse things though than the clarinet through a hotel room.
Ooh, wall. I don't know. It's up there. It's up there.
Yeah, clarinet. Better than, I guess, like the French horn or something. I feel like that would be worse.
It's quite soothing, though, the French horn. Clarinet's kind of raspy and...
Mm.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we've had some weird collabs. We've had some good ones. This one will be cool.
Okay.
Really good song.
I've got some names going in my mind. Oh, yeah. I won't...
Just try one.
Well, I don't want to...
King Wizard in the Blizzard.
Yeah, the lizard.
That'd be sick.
That would be sick. Well, I'm thinking of Tim Impala. Is he Australian?
Man, that would be cool. Australian. It's not Tim Impala.
Is it?
Actually, maybe it is.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, congrats, guys. That's so exciting.
Yeah, Kev's just over there waiting.
I feel like that's the... when I think Australian... music, I think that's the first one, and I'm not even sure if he is Australian.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, good. That would have been so embarrassing if I said that, and you're like, he's actually
you're like
South African.
Like,
yeah. No. And then last but not least, I've got a quick question beforehand. I saw in your tour diary, week one tour diary, that you did your Cold Plunge and your Snow Angel.
Yeah, In Nashville.
Yeah. And I was wondering if you were forced to move to a country where they have like extreme winters, where would you move?
Man, I don't know if I could do it.
Forced. You got no choice.
Maybe Japan. Like, we did Japan last year. We played a festival in the snow. That was awesome.
Ah, that is pretty cool.
That was cool. Mm-hmm. Would I live there? Don't know. I don't know if I... Like, we're just in Calgary, and, like, it's pretty cold.
It is pretty cold.
Pretty bleak. It's just, like Nashville. I thought Nashville was going to be hot, man. It's, like, country music and stuff. And then there's, like... We went to Montreal. That was the only place that was colder than Nashville on this
Montreal's
whole tour.
Freezing.
We've been all out to like New York and Boston and Toronto and like, yeah, it was Nashville's been second coldest on this trip.
See, I also
Pretty far south.
Yeah, I have a weird thing in my... I've never been to Nashville. I've been to Texas and it was freezing and I was like, this is wrong.
It's weird,
you shouldn't be allowed to be this cold.
Nah, it's like... desert hot.
Yeah, exactly.
In my mind.
Exactly. And so my last question for you, I spoke a little bit about if there was something on the album that you would go back and maybe change or remove.
Yeah.
Is there something on the album that you would never ever change or remove? Like a favorite lyric, favorite musical moment?
Trying to think of the songs on the album. I mean, like, it was really cool putting the strings. The strings was done by a guy, Australian guy who lives in Berlin. He did them all, like, one by one, and we, like, went back and forth. And that was kind of really cool. It's got this epic, like, orchestral sound, but it was... Mm-hmm. And I sometimes just, like, go back into the stems and just listen to the strings. I'm like, that's real nice. Any other things? I mean, I just love all the, like, weird sounds and, you know, something like country club is, you know, we'd like this song just needs to be like 5% weirder. And so then we just go through and we just like do weird vocal takes and just like make sounds and sound effects. And sometimes it just gives it a vibe.
Okay. That's pretty
fun. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. This has been very nice.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
on the ground next to your four-post bed. I guess I never learned to share. Bad news is all we flick to on the telly. At least it's taking me elsewhere. When I'm losing it, I say nothing about it. You're not stupid, I know you'll figure me out soon. I try to hide myself from us, and I lose. Confidence is more than your new haircut. You make an ass of my friends, well they deserve it. I'll kiss the ground where you walk, honey. Are you in this with me to the end? Oh, how am I losing it? I say nothing about it. You're not stupid, I know you'll figure me out soon. When I'm losing it, I say nothing about it. Yeah, I'm not stupid, you know you'll figure me out soon. I try to hide myself from her, and I lose. When I'm losing it, say nothing about it. You're not stupid, you'll figure me out soon. When I'm losing it, say nothing about it. Yeah, I'm not stupid, there's no winning without you. If I hide myself from us, I lose.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today and getting to chat with Oliver from Lime Cordial. Honestly, I'm saying it again, I cannot recommend their show enough. Next time they're in Vancouver, I am going to be telling every single person that I know or meet on the street to go to their show. Really, really wonderful time, really wonderful performers, and great music. You've heard some of it, and I'm going to close with the... Oh, what are those called? Oh, the title song of their latest album, Enough of the Sweet Talk. It is also explicit, so cover those ears. But it's a great song, great band, great chat, and, well, I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks, and lots of love. Have a wonderful rest of your morning, evening, night, wherever you're tuning in from. I will see you soon. Here is Enough of the Sweet Talk by Lime Cordial. Bye from me.
The freaking problem, blah, blah, blah. This headache is coming fast. Excusez-moi, got me to love. Nico's jive, you dancing up the wrong tree. You nosedive, spin out with your laundry. Hey, nah, nah, no psycho killer. But some say I'm a ricochet. I love how that sounds. They're cracking down. There's a Ku Klux around town. What you looking at me for? Even if they find me beating it off, don't come looking for me. Even if it stars fall from above, I'll be sipping back tea. Another sweet talk I can't guarantee that I give up now. Beating it off, whatever that means.
freaking problem. Ta ta ta, I'm sitting on my ass. There ain't no greener grass. Even if they find me needing it off, don't come looking for me.
I don't know.